This time on episode 175 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk about the penultimate season 4 episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Return. We're going to run down the weekly Marvel news and talk about your great feedback.
I'm Asmodeus from the Strange and Unusual podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., while it lasts, Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yay, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of emotional cyborgs.
If you'd like to talk to us about emotional cyborgs, you can get a hold of us at our website, LegendsOfShield.com.
You'd like to talk to us about emotional, mechanical, biological beings? We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can visit our Facebook page and talk behind Star Pie's back, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
You can find us all on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to see us talk about emotional cyborgs, you can catch our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Today, we're going to be running into the penultimate season 4, perhaps series penultimate episode, The Return. Haley, who do we have directing such a monumental episode?
Well, it's a familiar name for us. Kevin Tankeron is back. Many of you know by now that he is Marissa Tankeron, one of the showrunner's brothers. He has a bunch of directing credits for a lot of action stuff. He has 8 episodes of Dance Life, 1 of Supergirl, 2 of The Flash, 18 of Mortal Kombat Legacy. He was also the producer for that show. 1 for Arrow, 1 for Legends of Tomorrow, 1 for Iron Fist, 2 for Prison Break Resurrection. Star Pie lied to me, he actually has 2 for Arrow. 9 for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including Face My Enemy, One of Us, The Dirty Half Dozen, Space Time, Ascension, The Laws of Inferno Dynamics, The Patriot, and The Return.
Also, he was the producer of Mortal Kombat Legacy and is brought in when there is high action episodes. Lauren, we have a couple of nobodies that wrote this episode. No wonder it was such a bad episode, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's only a couple of people that we may have heard of before. First is Jed Whedon, who is a familiar writer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's credited with 85 episodes because, you know, he was a co-creator of the series, but he's actually written 16 of them. And he's also worked on Spartacus War of the Damned, Spartacus Gods of the Arena, Dollhouse, Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog. And we have Marissa Tankeron, who is Jed Whedon's wife. Or perhaps I should say Jed Whedon is her husband. Either way, this is a power team. She also has 85 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to her name, though she's written 12 episodes. Also has worked on Spartacus Gods of the Arena, also worked on Dollhouse, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog, and the video segments of Britney Spears' Live from Miami.
Yeah, coming from the pop star background, definitely. But unless we forget, both Jed and Marissa happen to be the showrunners And I don't know what is that called in this day and age. Are we talking executive producers, creators, whatever? They've been running the show since day one, which is why they co-wrote and produced both the pilot and 084, which is the first 2 hours of this 4-year series right now. So no wonder it was so good. I mean, I have to say, I think it was good. Lauren, did you like the episode?
Yes, I thought it was fantastic and heartbreaking.
Haley, are we alone in this or are you going to join us?
It was a kind of rough episode. I was actually watching it for the first time today while I was at work. And I was like, don't you make me cry, science babies. I got to keep it together.
I know there was just all the feels, which is just hitting us. They are definitely playing this like it's the series finale. As of this recording, which is late on Wednesday, the 10th of May, we have not heard whether the series is going to be renewed or not. A lot of the other shows have either gotten their cancellations or their renewals this week because it's upfront week. I don't know. If I was a betting man, I was going to say it's probably going to be canceled and they're just stringing everybody along. But I did pay attention to the end of the episode and they did not say series finale. They did say season 4 finale. So, still a chance. Still a chance. All right, Lauren, where do you want to start? Science babies, Ada? I mean, there's so many good things to talk about.
I say let's start with Ada, because I feel like she's the one that kind of carries the episode in a lot of ways. We start off with her and Fitz on that beach, and she's explaining to him why she's done all this. She's like, I wanted to break away and not be under someone's control. I wanted to be my own person. I wanted to be a person. Now I'm feeling all these emotions and I can't believe it. And this is super awesome. And I love you. And I can't believe this is what love feels like. And it's really sweet. And then she's like, oh, I just remembered I did some horrible things and that makes me feel bad. This is what feeling bad feels like. And Fitz is kind of like, okay, so let's take that and do something about it. And then she's like, oh, doing good feels good. And she's so happy. And I'm like, oh my God, are we going to have like, you know, little baby former robot join the team? But then Fitz reveals that he doesn't love her and she freaks out.
A woman scorned indeed. Now, let me ask you this, since I am not adept at really recognizing human behavior, is this kind of a teenager issue or is this like a bipolar disease?
Like tweenager. That's what I got, is like 13-year-old first heartbreak, also crazy with superpowers and magic things.
Several of my friends are bipolar. This is not a bipolar thing. What this is, it's more akin to a toddler. It's somebody who is feeling a strong emotion for the first time and has no idea how to control it, so they're lashing out. Unfortunately, this is not a toddler. This is a full-grown human being with superpowers and with a set of memories that says, I can kill things.
So what you're saying is Ada would have been great in Chronicle.
I haven't seen Chronicle.
It's a teen angst sort of superhero movie. You haven't missed, if it's up to the SP, you haven't missed anything, but a lot of other people love it. It's their best movie that they know of anywhere. So, okay, is this an accurate representation of Ada, Lauren?
Well, the more I thought about it after watching the episode, the more I think she'd probably want to be called Ophelia because that's the name she chose for herself. Ada was her identity when she was, as she saw it, Radcliffe's slave. Okay, so there was an article that I read a long time ago. It was right around the time that Mel Gibson was arrested for his drunken anti-Semitic rant. And it was a bunch of people had been saying, oh, that's not really him. That's not really him. And it was a neuroscientist saying, yeah, it was. Like, all of our behaviors are really us. Like, just because you're drunk and you say horrible things, that's not you. That doesn't mean that's not you. It's still you. It's just you being terrible. So Ada being nice is still Ada being nice. Ada being terrible is still Ada being terrible. There is no, oh, that's not. It's kind of like, it's honestly the same situation with Fitz. And I think this is why he's having this huge crisis right now. Because he has this memory of, I did these things. In my mind, I was justifying to myself every step of the way, and it all made sense. And it wasn't, oh, I was brainwashed. Oh, it was something else. It was every step that I took was a logical decision. It was still him doing it. He now knows he is capable of being this horrible person. And same with Ada. She's capable of good, just like she's capable of evil.
That's a good way to put it. Haley, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, Ophelia, as Lauren correctly directed us to call Ada now, Ophelia, Simmons ices her, which takes her down. But yet, multiple bullets do not take her down. So what's up with the icer? Is the icer the magical anti-Ophelia weapon?
I'm not sure. I would guess she can just heal rapidly, maybe, but the neurotoxin does something that she can't heal as quickly. I'm not sure.
That would be my guess, too.
Maybe they've got a special night-night gun that's specifically formulated for Inhumans.
Well, they had the specific cage that was against Inhumans, specifically Gordon, which did contain the transportation, but did not contain her other electrical-based powers. What was that power? What do we want to call it?
That was Lincoln's power. And when I saw that, and I saw somebody on Twitter say, oh, she has Lincoln's powers, then I remembered, oh, he's dead in the framework. They've been experimenting on Inhumans in the framework. What they've probably been doing is finding a way to give her Inhuman powers in the framework, with whatever body they were trying to make. So now she probably has many Inhuman powers. So she has Gordon's teleportation. She has Lincoln's lightning. She has, I don't know, Jiaying's healing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Interesting. So I didn't put all that together, but it's very true of where all this is coming from. All right. So Haley, where do you want to go next? Do we want to talk about Yo-Yo? Do we want to talk about Talbot and the mustache?
No, let's save that. I have this one little line from Coulson that I want to talk about. It might be nothing at all, or it might be huge. He and May were down in the drilling rig thing, and he was talking about, oh, how he knows about this from, you know, he was a Cold War buff, and so that's how he recognized this. And then he says, I can't believe I'm seeing this with his own eyes. And I listened to it twice, and I checked the captions, and it is definitely his own eyes. So if that's not just like a slip of the tongue, did somebody else come back in Coulson's body?
I don't think so. I think he is processing it as the Coulson in the framework as a different person than Coulson in the real world. Unlike, say, Fitz, who's thinking that was still me, I think Coulson, in order to kind of compartmentalize, is probably just thinking of them as two different people.
Okay.
That is interesting. So can they slip back and forth between the personalities?
I wouldn't think so. Okay, again, back to neurology. The way that I'm thinking of it is after, say, a traumatic brain injury, you're still you, but your brain now works a different way.
Regarding Henry, I've seen this movie.
Well, that actually, yes, that's a very good example. Because there's the demarcation of before, where, you know, there's the you that you were before this incident, and then there is the you after, where it's your experiences and everything plus this new thing that is now in your head. Whether it's trauma or PTSD or whatever X very acute event is. And the person that you are after is often different because you have this extra experience that has now shaped your life. And I think that it would probably be similar to that. Only in their case, for the most part, instead of an injury or something like that, it's basically a whole nother life. They have multiple sets of memories. And honestly, I don't know how that wouldn't just kind of drive them bonkers, because you ever have those like really realistic dreams, you wake up and you're not sure, like, oh, did I really wake up and clean the house, or did I just dream that?
You wish you really did it.
But anyway, it would be, I figure, like that, but constant. Like, you never know. Like, Coulson, he got lucky right then. Like, oh, I just happen to have this memory that's, you know, really specific to this situation. But then one day, I don't know, maybe he's going to get stressed and start making soap.
Why not? I mean, Picard was probably affected by both his experiences in the Inner Light and as Locutus of Bor. I mean, that's three lifetimes right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And honestly, sometimes I really want to find more Next Generation fanfic to see if that, like, explores that.
That would be interesting, because I don't think it was ever really explored either in Star Trek The Next Generation or the movies per se of him struggling. I mean, immediately, yes, but it wasn't like a long-term deal struggling with trying to recapsule that, other than him playing his flute in the Jeffrey tubes or whatever he was trying to do.
Yeah.
But that's Star Trek The Next Generation. Let's get back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson uses his S.H.I.E.L.D.
The second that the Russian bot mentioned, you know, a S.H.I.E.L.D., I was like, oh, he's going to use it before I could even type it up on Twitter. There it was.
Cut his face off. Haley, you had to have been impressed about that.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to love about a Russian with his face cut off? And spoilers for people who aren't up on the 100, skip ahead 30 seconds. That is the second time I've seen that actor die in the last week.
Every time I see him, he reminds me, oh yeah, I keep meaning to watch Black Sails.
He died more than once in this episode, though. May killed him, Coulson killed him twice, and then whoever was left on board got exploded by the other Robo Ivanovs. And talking about Robo Ivanovs, there's a bunch of Robo Mays. Where are they?
I'm presuming they... Well, no, I'm thinking of the...
Of the daisies.
Yeah, robo-daisies.
They blew up the S.H.I.E.L.D. base when they left, so that probably destroyed a lot of them.
I stand corrected. Robo-daisies. Yeah, but okay, I still think there's a lot of robo-daisies out there.
No. I think they were destroyed when they blew up the base. That was kind of the point of blowing up the base.
Yeah.
All right.
We've got one episode left. I don't think we can bring back an army of inhuman robots.
Why not? That would be a great conclusion. You got Ada, you got Ivanov, you got Robbie Reyes.
We've got Mac and Yo-Yo still in the framework. We got to deal with that. Like, there's a lot going on to wrap up.
Let's talk about Yo-Yo in the framework, because we haven't talked about that yet. Yo-Yo just wants to go with Mac. She has the great conversation with Daisy, and she's coming to terms with why Mac actually wanted to stay there, and it's all about hope. So, of course, Yo-Yo is thinking ahead and going, I got it. I will just go in the framework. Was it the right decision, Haley?
I think it's a bad idea to just go in there without talking to the team in the middle of a crisis situation. Like, deal with the current crisis, and then there's time to go get Mac later.
Yeah, and seriously, treat it like hiking. Use the buddy system.
She doesn't know where she's going to be in there. Like, she could wake up strapped to a chair in the middle of a burning building.
Well, two things that I love from that whole thing. First of all, we find out that Mac told Yo-Yo his daughter's name, but not Daisy. So we find out kind of comparatively how close they are. And the other thing is that Yo-Yo is like, okay, I won't go in. And then she's like, I do what I want, and plucks herself in.
Don't do the thing. I'm doing the thing.
Definitely did the thing, and everybody was calling her out. I mean, Talbot was like, I didn't know Yo-Yo. I know she could do that sort of stuff. Where is she? Nobody asks after that until the end.
Speaking of Talbot, at first I was like, oh my God, he's like 500 steps behind. But then when he laid out the whole situation, I'm like, yeah, this does look pretty bad for them, doesn't it?
It does. And explain it to me in 50 words or less. And Coulson's like, all right, I'll try. I don't know if I can, but we'll give it the old history college professor try. I think at that moment, it was the original Coulson, right? From the movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and a little bit of director Coulson as well. It was nice to see that Coulson back on the screen when he was dealing with Talbot and the mustache.
Well, Mace is dead. Someone's got to take charge.
Oh, that's right. Mace's body washed up on the shore, definitely saying that Jeffrey Mace is indeed dead.
Yeah, and we saw that picture in, like, the rubble. That was so sad.
It was. R.A.P. the Patriot. At least in our world, in the Matrix / framework, he could definitely still be there.
No, he's dead.
So, talking about people being dead and being mad about that happening, thanks to the Wheatons, Agent May not only roided up, but she used some of her season one anger issues to take care of several of the robots. That was awesome to see.
Okay, so I was very happy that they did the whole, like, oh, I can't, why can't I move? Because so often, and I'm looking at you, Walking Dead, somebody will be in a coma for an extended period of time, and they walk up and they're just ready to kick ass. It does not work that way.
Kill Bill Volume 1. She just needed to stare at her toe for a while.
Yeah. So, okay, they have people come in to when you're in bed rest and try to, like, move you around and stuff because you get bed sores. It does not take long for your muscles to atrophy if you don't move around very much. You need to get up and move around. It's a thing that people need to do.
Well, how long was Rick comatose at the beginning of The Walking Dead? It was just a couple of weeks, right?
Weeks, at least.
I thought it was like 6 months.
I don't know if it was 6 months, but it was definitely weeks. It was at least a month.
He was weak when he got up. He barely was able to survive.
But, like, still, even after just a couple of weeks of that, you still need, like, PT, like physical therapy.
I think he was getting physical therapy until the zombies took over.
He was unconscious.
No, like, when you come out of the coma, you have to have PT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his PT was avoiding zombies. The adrenaline kept him going.
But we all know he should have actually died of dehydration.
Well, yes.
But anyways, that's The Walking Dead.
May was down, and then, like I said, it was the combination. It was the combination of the anger spear and of the Asgardian anger that is within her and the adrenaline that she was taking. That's the only reason she did. And then afterwards, she collapsed. So I think that was an accurate portrayal. Did I not see that right?
No, it was at least TV accurate. So
fair enough.
But yeah, like, what did she use? Like an EpiPen or something?
An emergency epinephrine dose.
Yeah, epinephrine, the way that, like, EpiPens work and stuff is, it doesn't, like, negate an allergy attack, by the way. It just, adrenaline. Like, that's what epinephrine is, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you're going into anaphylactic shock and you can't breathe and stuff, the adrenaline overrides it.
At least for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was May a badass, but Agent Piper just takes control. She's the first one that shoots Ada, actually, and she's able to get Fitz out of there, and she's the one who does the Luke Skywalker Han Solo shooting of the, I guess it looked like a MiG or Sukhoi Russian fighter or whatever, and in Star Wars fashion as they flew through the debris field. There's your Star Wars moment for the episode. Although Talbot also mentioned C-3PO. So there's a bunch of Star Wars stuff going on. Anyway, Agent Piper was a badass in this episode. I'm really starting to like her, which means that she's got about, what, 10, 15 minutes in the next episode before she's dead?
I think they won't really kill her is because they haven't developed her enough to make it hurt when they do.
Just have a war between the writers of Supergirl and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and whoever wins gets to keep the actress.
That's true. Although the whole, in this episode, in this world, in the Marvel world, where she is on the special strike team, it reminded me a lot of the Space Marines in Aliens. We didn't get to know those people really well before they all started dying. So that's...
You know, it's nice that she doesn't have to change her costume when she goes between shows. She just, like, changes out the patch on her arm.
Yeah.
The true crossover of the TV comic book universes. I wonder who she has she appeared on Legion? Should we have her on Legion?
No, but she was on The Walking Dead.
Oh my god.
Alrighty. So, is there anything else to talk about before we get to Robbie Reyes? I know there's other things I'm forgetting. Lauren, what do we got?
The science babies.
Alright, so let's do it.
Okay, so we have Fitz who's like, when he's having his heart-to-heart with Ada, and he's like, there's only room in my heart for one person. And he's like, I love Simmons, but she's never going to take me back because of what I did. And Simmons is listening in, and she's just like, oh no! And then, you know, then everything goes bad, and later she's sitting with him, and oh my god, he can't even look at her. And she's just like reaching out just to put a hand on him. And that's when he just like breaks down because he's just been trying to be strong and be like, I'm not going to put you through. I don't deserve you. And she's just reaching out for him because she's never lost faith in him. And it was so beautiful.
It's well written. Haley, what did you take from that scene?
You know, that scene, but before when she was watching him talk to Ophelia. And just like with every line he said, they would cut back to her and it's just tearing her apart a little more. Like he thinks he's irredeemable and he thinks she'll never forgive him. And she thinks he loves Ophelia and that's where he's at. And almost to the end of that scene, I thought that might be where they went with it, is that, you know, his more recent relationship with Ophelia would override the one that he had with Simmons. It was rough.
Yeah, that was rough part of the episode, especially if you've been a Team Science Babies from the beginning. We've talked about it all throughout this pod, is Fitz actually redeemable or not. I tend to think we're leaning that way, that he's actually redeemable, but it's tough. It's really hard to go through that.
Yeah, I know a bunch of people on Twitter were like, it's too bad Andrew's not still here, because seriously, this team just needs a dedicated therapist at this point.
Yeah, and Talbot ain't it. Neither is the mustache, by the way.
No, that mustache has many abilities, but quality therapy is not one of them.
So learn anything else?
Before we get to Robbie? No.
All right. Haley, anything else before we get to Robbie?
Nope.
All right. Let's do Robbie. Haley, how did he come out of that? What's going on with that? Give me a scientific explanation. Because plot, as Neil would say. Lauren, what do you got?
Scientifically speaking, I mean, it's complete BS. But, I mean, something, something, quantum physics, something, something.
Something, something, disturbance in the force created by Ada making a body.
String theory. I don't know.
String theory. You got to go with string theory.
I don't know. If writers on the show can just pull science out their butts, so can I.
Okay, there you go. Robbie's back because of plot.
Also, doesn't the Russian have the Darkhold now? Maybe he did a thing.
He could have, yes.
Maybe Robbie beat up the devil.
There you go.
And he's like, I'm done.
It took a little while, but it's over with. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I kind of thought we wouldn't see him again. I kind of thought they were done with the Ghost Rider thing. Like, it hadn't worked out the way they wanted, and they were just like, okay, moving on.
Well, we knew that he was coming back because the news said he was coming back. We knew that.
Oh, I had missed that.
So did I. Like, last night was actually a really big surprise for me, and I screamed.
Oh, okay. Well, I actually knew he was coming back for the finale. I didn't know it was going to be at the end of this episode.
Then you are the only one on this show that knew that.
Apparently. We were talking about it over on the Starling Tribune, so I guess. Anyway, he's back, and because of the, what do you call it, the previews for next week, it looks like he's back specifically to take care of Ada, or Ophelia, as we should be calling her, actually. So I think it's well done, a great callback, and it actually opens the door to have him back, to have him in another series, whether it's a Hulu-based series, a Netflix-based series, something like that. I just got the feeling that Marvel really wanted to use Ghost Rider in their properties, and that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just wasn't what they wanted for him, that they wanted to introduce him there and then move on. So
it's not really a good fit for him because they haven't done a lot of magic in their world up to this point. So to kind of throw him in there, he just didn't really seem like his place.
Yeah, but he did bring us the Darkhold, and we got some good stuff out of that.
This whole season was broken up into pods, so they knew that they were going to do Ghost Rider in the first pod, and then they knew that they were going to end with the Matrix in the third pod. So they knew this going into the season. This was all planned out. This wasn't changed mid-season. So I think they brought him in and they wanted to see what crowd reaction was. There's diehard Ghost Rider fans out there that definitely want to see more Ghost Rider. I just don't know if it's enough to pull a show, whether it's on Netflix or not. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens after this next episode, and we'll see what happens with the renewal of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, you've got Deathlok out there as well that is not being used in any property. So Marvel has a lot of toys that they can play with, and not all of them are on TV right now.
One last thing real quick. Valinda.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The bottle. The bottle's been opened.
You opened it, you son of a...
I enjoyed that. We all knew that was coming as well because of the RoboMe. So, yeah, it was... at least all the cards are on the table now. Nothing's hidden.
Got one episode to bring it together. I mean, if next week does turn out to be the series finale, I hope, you know, they end that relationship in a way that is satisfying.
Yeah, I know. What really bothers me is Marvel has a history now of leaving a huge cliffhanger out there with a series that's been canceled, Agent Carter. That cliffhanger is just out there. And there's cliffhangers that we've had within Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. itself. We've had one this season alone with the Inhuman at the, what's his name, VJ, at the bottom of the ocean. So they're great at doing this sort of stuff. And I don't know if this will come to a conclusion or not, basically, is what I'm saying.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Haley, you have any quotes?
Just a few. You missed a fair amount, May, but the quick version is you can go ahead and shoot him.
That was so great.
Just go ahead and shoot him.
I should have stayed in that damn spa.
That's right. I should have had the red pill.
Why don't we chop off her head like last time?
I think we're done for killing for now. And May was the one who said that, which was interesting. Although coming off the tales of what happened to her in the framework, I don't think that's too far off the mark.
That's all the quotes.
All right. It was a good episode. Was this the best? We've had four of them now. Is this the best penultimate? Or where would you guys rank this?
I'd have to go back and rewatch them all.
Well, and some of the penultimate episodes have aired at the same time as the final episode, so it's hard to separate them.
I was going to say SOS Part 1 would probably be the top for me. All right. Well, that'd be a great rewatch if we ever had time for a rewatch.
Yeah, as soon as Marvel stops putting out new stuff, we'll do a rewatch.
Well, they might stop putting out this show. We'll see. I would think by the time we podcast next week, we'll probably have an answer, but it might be another week.
If they're going to cancel it, we definitely won't know by next week. They'll wait until after the finale airs to say that.
Right. Well, the finale is next week.
I know, but they won't say until well after that, because they're going to want to get the best numbers they can for that episode.
And the tale from that episode, too. Yeah.
But my gut says that we haven't heard yes by this point, then it's probably more likely no. But ABC is always late to renew or cancel compared to the other networks.
Nothing can compare to the stupid heartstrings that we had to go through with Defiance. That was ridiculous. 2 months after the finale aired, we found out that they'd cut it. That was stupid.
That's just mean.
Another NBC property, just saying. All right, so next week is the season finale, possibly series finale, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 4, Episode 22, Worlds, and we'll be right here talking about it. If you have any feedback about the episode, about the season, about the series, please make sure you get it to us. We have the voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We have our Twitter accounts. You can email me, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. You can post a message on our Facebook page, which I will not see until the ladies bring it up in the feedback section. So there's going to be a lot of great things that you can do. Let us know what you're thinking of what's going on. In the meantime, it's time for some news.
First up, we've got some Inhumans news. So we've got the first Inhumans teaser, which is just like 20 seconds. And it's the guy from Game of Thrones,
Ewan Rian.
Ewan Rian. He's playing Maximus the Mad, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, he's definitely crazy, and he definitely thinks he should be in charge, and that is what a lot of that show is going to be about, I think. So there's that teaser, and then we've also got a first look at the cast, so it's everybody in costume, all made up. Medusa's hair looks weird.
The women's, in general, costumes look weird, particularly Medusa, but yes. Why is Medusa wearing what looks like lavender pleather?
Don't know. What's up with those shoulder pads? That's the real question.
She looks like she's reminding me of something, like if somebody tried to do Daphne from Scooby-Doo in the future.
Yeah. My only thought is maybe they're planning to do effects on the hair all the time. So when they just stand there and take a picture, that's not the way it's supposed to look.
But like, I feel like the guys in the picture look generally okay.
Yeah.
And then there's the women and they look terrible. And it's like, please say this isn't their final costume design.
Yeah, I think it is.
There's an interview here with Scott Buck that you could read if you're interested in more information. But yeah, looking at the picture. Yeah.
So you mentioned Scooby-Doo, which was interesting because I was just catching up on Doctor Who, which you podcast on, Haley, on the Gonna Geek Network on a show called Gallifrey Public Radio. And Scooby-Doo was mentioned in Doctor Who in a recent episode. So,
well, because the last episode had a Scooby-Doo villain in it.
Definitely did.
But more trailers and such. We got the Defenders trailer, which we might have talked about last week, but it's worth talking about again because it is that good. 2.5 minutes of the team coming together and doing things. There's a hallway scene.
Because there is always a hallway scene.
When I saw Charlie Cox at Indiana Comic Con a couple weeks ago, he talked specifically about that hallway scene. And we all knew that there was a point where he went into a doorway. And he mentioned it was very early on in the shooting of Daredevil season one. When he went into that doorway, then it changed to the stuntman, and then the stuntman took it the next 8 minutes or so. But he said by the time they got to season two and they did that stairwell hallway scene, that was all him. Now, it wasn't all one take. I think he said if you look carefully, there's one or two cuts in there. But we're talking about Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil on Marvel's Netflix right there, and the infamous hallway scene and the stairwell hallway scene. And so the stunt person in season one did most of the take, but irregardless, he was talking about all this and I'm just looking at him going, huh, did you break your wrist like Daisy did? Cause that was an awesome scene. You guys remember that when Daisy was doing all the commando stuff?
And it still freaks me out that like they actually kept that take.
Yeah. Cause that was it. That was the one take. They couldn't do another one. She was hurt.
Yeah. I mean, that's just good practice. If somebody breaks a bone doing a take, you use that one.
Yeah, sort of like Lord of the Rings when Aragorn kicked that helmet and broke his toe.
And she talked about that when I saw her at C2E2 last year. She said every time she sees the scene, she knows exactly when her wrist broke and she just winces every time when she sees it.
Yep. Well, we'll keep rolling with teaser trailers and such. Gifted has been ordered to series, and they have released a teaser trailer for it.
Yeah, have either of y'all seen the teaser trailer yet?
Yes. Those are definitely kids with powers.
Yeah, those are definitely kids with powers. I think I see Blink's teleportation in there. Cautiously excited about this, so.
Because I was worried there weren't going to be enough Marvel TV shows to watch next year.
And you're keeping up with all the comic book shows too, right? The anime shows?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not. I thought you were keeping up with all the cartoons.
No. Those are usually a thing I watch when they hit Netflix, and I can watch the entire show when I don't have anything else to do.
Which is never.
Well, yeah, not lately. But more stuff having to do with Fox's Marvel properties. Donald Glover is producing a Deadpool animated series for FX.
I think this was just announced today, and it makes me happy.
Donald Glover is just trying to get in on this comic book stuff left, right, and backwards. I hope he gets ultimately what he really wants.
Yeah, I wonder what. I know there was a big campaign for him to be Spider-Man, and then they decided to go much younger. But I wonder what role he has in mind as his dream Marvel role.
That's what I was wondering too, and which is why I brought it up, because I know he wanted to play Spider-Man, but I don't necessarily know if that's a dream role. Like with Ben Affleck, he always wanted to be Batman, and all he could get was Daredevil, so he said, okay, I'll be Daredevil. And then ultimately he got to be Batman. Well, if anybody has a good idea of where Donald Glover really wants to go, aside from Spider-Man, because we knew he wanted to do the Spider-Man role, he's not going to do it because Spider-Man's too young. So if anybody has an idea of where he ultimately wants to go, let us know. Haley, what do we got next?
Well, good news, everyone. Marvel promises more gratuitous shirtless scenes.
Women?
Don't know. Probably not, since they're trying to keep PG, I think.
So frustrated.
But I guess Chadwick Boseman has a shirtless scene in the upcoming Black Panther movie. So, you know, that's something we don't have to worry about now.
Is this while he's on top of the car?
They don't specify. We know, because we watched Guardians this weekend, that Chris Pratt is again shirtless. It's very brief. Briefer than it should have been. But
his wife is anti the shirtless scene. We know this already.
Why does she get to vote?
She's married to him, I guess.
I was like, yeah, come on. They taught us all about sharing in school. Let's go.
We're just talking looking, no touching. Gee. But I guess that's the only one that they would know for sure.
Okay.
That it's going to have a shirtless scene in it.
I mean, Black Widow, Mockingbird, the possibilities are endless.
Well, more movie news, I guess. It's not really movie news, but Tom Holland and Zendaya do a lip sync battle.
Have y'all seen either of these, particularly Tom Holland's?
I have not seen lip sync battles since we were doing it, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, for the lip sync battle to the death. Okay, so Zendaya did Bruno Mars, and it was fantastic. And then Tom Holland did Umbrella from Rihanna. And so first of all, that guy can rock a corset. And second of all, that guy can dance, which shouldn't be a surprise. He was in the Billy Elliot musical. But apparently a bunch of people didn't know that, so they were freaking out. Because seriously, guy can dance.
I know a lot more about corsets than I used to, because after my last panel at Indiana Comic Con, then they had the corset panel.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know that was a thing at cons. Apparently, I've been having my head in the sand. Corsets at cons. If you are into corsets, go to a con. They'll tell you all up how to wear one correctly.
Surprisingly enough, considering everyone tends to, you know, there's still that stereotype as nerds, as sexless geeks. Cons, typically, well, depending on which con you go to and stuff, a lot of times you can find stuff on, like, kink and, you know, rope tying and, again, corsets and costuming and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean,
rope tying, like, Deadliest Catch, like fisherman knots?
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what she means.
Sexy fisherman knots.
Well, Marvel's Runaways has officially been picked up for a series order at Hulu. And we've also got a cast photo.
Ooh.
This has me so happy. I also saw it was like a leaked trailer, but it was really poor video quality because it was recorded over someone's shoulder. And I know they've changed some stuff. Like, I think they've aged Molly up. They've changed her background a little bit. But it has me so happy.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture right now. Left to right, there are six of them. Walk me through who each is.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull it up.
So on the extreme left, you have a girl in purple hair, and we all know I have trouble identifying color, so if it's not purple, don't kill me here, but it looks like purple and glasses.
It's purple hair. That is Gert Yorks, and her parents in the comics are time-traveling criminals, and yes, she has the purple hair. She has glasses. She's supposed to be a bit heavier. I've cosplayed as her before. And she's a huge feminist nerd, and she's awesome. She's probably my favorite character from these comics.
Okay.
Next to her is Nico Minoru, and she's Japanese-American. She's a witch. She's very gothy, but then it turns out, oh, she has magic, and her parents do magic too. And actually, a character who is supposed to be her mother shows up as a cameo in Doctor Strange. Then there's Alex Wilder, who is a brainiac gamer. His parents are, I think, like mafiosos. Next to them is Chase Stein, who's kind of a disappointment to his parents. He's sort of presents himself as like a dumb jock. Then there's Carolina Dean. Her parents in the comics are actors, and, you know, she's just this, like, you know, very sweet hippie girl. And next to them, so in the comics, she's Molly Hayes. She's supposed to be the youngest person there. She's 11 in there. It looks like they aged up to maybe like 13, 14 here. I know they changed her last name here. Now she's Hispanic.
Okay.
Let me see what they changed her last name to. Molly Hernandez. And, well, in the comics, she's a mutant with super strength, so let's see what she is here.
Is known for her peppy positivity and a deep yearning to belong.
Yeah, she has several memorable team-ups with Wolverine. At one point, she punches Punisher in the gut really hard because she didn't know he didn't have superpowers. She's fantastic.
Talking about Wolverine, Weapon X comic book dropped, the new one dropped today in the new comics. So if you like Wolverine, Weapon X is out there right now. So Haley, I've got a question for you. If you pit the Runaways versus the Dr. Ku class clan, which group is going to turn out on top?
Probably the Runaways, because they have superpowers, if I had to guess.
But class has the Doctor.
No, they don't.
I mean, he's in their universe.
He's in the first episode.
I know.
Yeah, but he mostly was like, hey, I'm going to leave this school in your guys' hands. Deuces.
All right. So let's just assume that the Doctor is part of their team. Now what?
I don't know. I still like the kids' chances because the Doctor might have a problem, you know, opening up on some kids.
They might take a sonic screwdriver away?
They might.
Okay, what else we got in the news?
Well, last up, some comic book news. Marvel has asked Cap fans for some patience with Secret Empire. It may have accidentally spoiled the ending.
I think we all knew where the ending was going anyway. Oh, well.
Yeah, I will not be patient with this story.
Right. For those that are interested in, by the way, the Secret Empire number one dropped today in the comic book shelves. So if you're interested, go ahead and take it. I know a lot of people that aren't just like you, Lauren. I know Chris has no interest in it. And I know Michelle from Starling Tribune. There's a lot of people that have no interest in following this story. So if you are interested in, though, we value your opinion. So get a hold of us. All right. Any other news, ladies? I'll take that as a no. And with that, let's move on to some feedback.
Okay, so Twitter was abuzz this week. We've got a lot of stuff from the live tweets. We've got a lot of people just sending us stuff. We can't read all of it because we had so much. So thank you. Thank you so much. Keep sending it in. We love you. But here are some just kind of our favorites of the week. At Adana Girl sent us, LOL, Cap murdered Groot's cousin. And it's a gif of, you know, Cap ripping the stump in half in...
Haley knows that gif well.
It's a good gif.
And then Groot looking horrified in Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
By the way, I did that same Cap move a couple of weeks ago at the lake house. We were splitting some oak. And once you start splitting oak, it's easy to rip apart like that.
Huh. I did not know that.
Did you look like Cap when you did it, though?
I totally looked like Cap. I took my shirt off, too. Yeah.
Let's see. At Andy Migna sent us, while he was doing his own live watch of the episode, a friend's idea. I want Mallory Jansen to play Dark Phoenix so badly. The rage she showed at the end was straight up planet-eating madness. And now that you've mentioned it, I also want to see it. Like, yeah, that would be awesome.
Haley?
It seems unlikely to happen at this point since they just did recasting with, you know, newer, younger X-Men.
It would still be cool, though. At Badger Spoon sent us, the Russian said he was designed only for killing. That can only mean one thing, right? And he sent us a picture of MODOK. MODOK, for those of you who don't know, machine only designed. Oh my God, why am I forgetting?
I know, what's the other O? Something designed only for killing?
I don't know.
Here it is. So it's mental/mobile/mechanized organism designed only for killing.
Interesting.
Yeah. My favorite variation of that is the Modok, which is the mechanism only designed for killing Modoks.
I've heard of that, but I didn't know what it was before. It was kind of something neat that I heard somebody say.
It's a big giant head with little baby arms and legs, and it looks really dumb, and it's one of my favorite ridiculous things in the Marvel Universe. At Mr. Paraclete sent us, "Hello, Night Nurse," an article about Night Nurse in honor of Nurses Week, because it was just Nurses Week, and by the way, yesterday was Teachers Appreciation Day. So, happy Nurses Week, happy Teachers Appreciation Day. We appreciate all you do.
We need more of both.
Yes, and the article, it's on Marvel.com, and it's actually incredibly interesting. It's just a brief history of the character of Night Nurse.
Badger Spoon decided to tell me I'm wrong. I was going to say disagree with me, but really, he fully documented why it was wrong, which, okay. It got to the title of last week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was Farewell, Cruel World, and I incorrectly identified that as part of Wizard of the Oz, which... That statement apparently was never in The Wizard of Oz, but...
No, she says, what a world, as she's melting.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, it could be a reference to the 1920 silent movie Haunted Spooks, which he then put a gif of, so...
Badger, I bow to your knowledge and your ability to back up your statements.
And Mr. Paraclete sent us... there's really no words needed for this. It's a picture. It's Yondu, with Groot on his shoulder, and he is dressed as Mary Poppins, and it is wonderful.
It's beautiful, really.
It is. Although, I mean, Groot's angry. It's angry baby Groot, but it's pretty cool.
Angry baby Groot is adorable.
It really is. One of the replies, Adadonna Girl says, instead of singing a spoonful of sugar, he just whistles an arrow around the room.
Unfortunately, I know that movie like the back of my hand. I know all those songs over and over again. I now will be picturing a spoonful of sugar with that arrow flying around trying to hit those kids. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, that would make that scene so much better.
And that's it for our tweets that we're going to talk about. Thank you again, as Lauren said, very much to everybody that tweeted us. It was a very active week on Twitter. We do appreciate it. We do have one voicemail. It is from Consultant Adam. Are you ladies ready to hear what Adam has to say about the episode?
Yep.
Wow, this episode was just so intense, especially Ada's journey, because, I mean, you kind of almost liked her at first, especially in that beach scene where she's, you know, acclimating to her human body. But then as the episode went along, I mean, it got better with... her saving Mac, though, you know, he's still trapped in the framework, and now Yo-Yo is too, because she didn't pay attention. Yeah, still kind of processing this, but yeah, now Ada's change at the end, and of course the very end scene, and yeah. Very rambling feedback, not really completing any sentences here, but I imagine that's a pretty common sentiment after this episode. Can't wait to hear what you guys think, and I know it'll be more coherent than this. Bye.
Now, in all fairness, Adam, first of all, thank you very much for providing the feedback. In all fairness, if we had to podcast directly after the episode aired, we probably would be incoherent. But we had a day to think about it, so we were able to get our thoughts into some sort of line. But thank you very much. I think the fact that Adam was tongue-twisted and speechless after this episode says a lot, as does the creative team and the great acting performances, the writing. I think this is just a well-put-together episode, and I'm glad that if this is the end of the series, I'm glad we're getting this sort of story progression, because the series deserves... this sort of great work. Ladies, do you have anything you want to say to the incoherent Consultant Adam?
I really love his phone calls right after the episode because, yeah, that is literally me just after the episode. It's so fun to hear people having that sort of reaction.
Haley, you're never speechless.
I'm not speechless. I'm just not talking. I couldn't have put together a string of sentences right after watching. I have to watch it twice to think things and thoughts. And this is what you get. So
there you go. So thank you very much. And we would definitely enjoy more live feedback right after the episode. It's all right. Just go ahead and call into the voicemail line or email me or whatever. And we will definitely talk about it on the podcast the next night that we talk about World's End. So there we go. That's it for the great feedback this week. Again, really appreciate it. But it's time to hopscotch this one out. Next week, we will be discussing the season 4 finale episode, World's End. And you can always find our live streams the next night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific at www.geeks.live. You can join in our chat. You can watch our live YouTube stream and you can catch our live audio on Spreaker.
Again, want to thank everybody who sends us feedback, whether it's on Twitter, just everything, particularly right now, Twitter, because of the live tweets. And thank you so much for tweeting during the episode. It's so fun and I love interacting and I love seeing you be excited. And again, thank you for everything that you send us during the week. We love seeing it and we love you.
Thank you also to people who send us news throughout the week. It makes it a lot easier for us as we prep for the show, having that to go off of. Sometimes we don't get a chance to go and hunt down all the news ourselves. So thank you to everybody that does that.
I feel compelled to say also, by the way, I didn't mean say that we would be stopping the show. There is so much Marvel content out there that Haley alluded to before. We actually are more than full up on our schedule for the rest of the year. So we aren't going anywhere unless Haley goes somewhere because she writes the schedule. And when the schedule runs out, then we don't know what to do. So Haley needs to tell us what to do.
Yep. Well, the schedule is made through the end of the summer. So you've at least got that much.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening and downloading this podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, in the live chat. Felix, Consultant Black Adam, Steven, Wrong Drew. You're there, too. So I guess we'll tolerate the Mr. Wrong Drew. Till next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.